Well, hello there. Welcome to Spade the Spade podcast, where amazing things happen. Pretty much it's been a while since we had a chat, and I know you guys might have been thinking what's going on, blah blah blah. You know, sometimes you just have to take a break and do a few things, self-care and stuff. Now I'm back, and I thought during the time that I've been off, I've been studying people and a lot of things that have been happening in my workplaces and my friends, and I just kind of got curious about how people act, what makes up their personalities, and what's the root cause of this. And during my research, I found a few things, and today we'll have to talk about signs that you are emotionally neglected or abused as a child. So it can be hard to accept a childhood that was plagued with emotional abuse, but it's a critical step in healing who we are. So childhood is a crucial time, and one in which we form our defining ideas on everything from romantic love to happiness. The relationship we share with our parents are important, but they can be damaging too. So when you're the adult child of an emotionally abused parent, the road is hardly ever a straight one. It's up to you to find healing through, though it's up to you to let in the light of happiness and truth. So sometimes, though we aren't responsible for all the complex damages done to us by emotionally abused or neglected parents, we are responsible for healing the damage in our adult life so we can find happiness for ourselves. That comes with a big dose of brutal self-acceptance. However, the committing to undoing the damages that's been years in the making, we can find joy after waking up from an emotionally abused childhood, but only when we accept both who we are and who we want to be. So we can see also that childhood memories are rarely a straight road. So for example, our childhood memories are often seem to be tainted with a touch of rose-tinted nostalgia. So when you think of your childhood amid a stressed adulthood, you are inclined to remember surprise, Santa Claus visit, or you know, all those things that don't make sense, or happy days on the playground with the friends. So what about the hard stuff though? What about those tough swallow memories that makes you squirm or otherwise define who we are? For example, emotionally neglect occur when our caretakers fail to appropriately respond to our emotional needs at critical stages in our development. So while child abuse is very intentional act, emotional neglect generally occurs out of ignorance or as a result of an extreme form of narcissism. It's a failure to act and respond to a child's emotional needs, and its unwillingness to do the emotional work it takes to be an adequate parent. Because emotional neglect is so subtle, by the way, many of us fail to recognize its consequences in our lives until we are well into our adulthood. So overcoming the effect of emotional neglect is a long process, and it takes a certain amount of brutal honesty, applied self-compassion, and understanding. So getting ourselves back to true happiness and peace takes learning how to correct these flaws and start loving ourselves for who we are. So we are going to visit some other five facets of childhood emotional abuse. And in the next episode, I will try to go deeper and explain how they affect the child and what they are. Just five of them. So stay tuned and keep in touch with us and see what's going on. Have fun. Why we don't always recognize childhood emotional abuse? So unlike physical abuse, the scars of emotional abuse run deep and often far beneath the place we are comfortable lacking. So because emotional abuse requires us to bury our pain and our experience deep, it dismisses our base instincts. It can be hard for us to recognize and accept that we are childhood victims of emotional abuse. So the first reason is dismissal of needs. So as an adult, we have a toxic way of looking back at the needs of our childhood as trivial or not that important. So more often than not, we brush off the deep feelings of hurt, loss and rejection as common misunderstanding of childhood rather than the definitive and scary moments they truly are. Dismissing these needs only further buries them in our subconscious, and the longer this goes on, the more serious the side effects can become. The second one is normalization. Once we normalize things, and this is one of the most common ones, and also understandable reason that we struggle to resolve or even accept our childhood emotional trauma. Normalization occurs when we accept the idea that our experience is common and therefore invalid. Because everyone has this experience, we start to believe that it doesn't matter very much. Nothing could be further from, you know, the truth. However, just because something is common does not make it less traumatic or damaging to who you are. The third one is internalizing trauma. So this one is really common even among my friends and people I work around with. So children have an uncanny way of internalizing the bad things that happen to them. And that's especially true when it comes to emotional abuse. So when we internalize our trauma, we start to believe that the poor treatment we receive as children is our fault. It's my fault, we tell ourselves. Anything my parents did to me was because I deserved it. It happens because I wasn't good enough. No. Internalizing situation like this, internalizing your trauma can cause you to turn away from it. And accepting it is an inevitable part of your insecurities, so you have to face them. And the other one is shamed into silence. And this one, it means that at one point in time, you might have known your trauma and named it for what it was. Things change, though, and the bond we share with our families have a big part to play. You may know that it's wrong, but the family ties you share with your abusers lead to a shamed sense of silence. So, otherwise, you're convinced that you have to bury away your trauma and pretend that it never happened. The longer you allow yourself to be shamed into silence, the farther you are pulled into shadows. And with these four hints of why we do not always recognize childhood emotion, I think it's important that whenever you're about to make a decision, you have to look deeper as to why you're doing it. What is triggering you to do this? Why are you really, really doing this? Is it because you want it? Is it because you're thinking of what people think about you? Is it because you have to do it because the way you're raised or the family has you doing it? So we have to go deep down and internalize our trauma and see into it how it makes us who we are. So with that, move to the fourth episode with talk more about the common long-term effects of emotional abuse. This is where I want you guys to be keen so you can evaluate yourself on where you are. So keep it tuned and see you in the next episode. Bye. Welcome to episode 2 of Signs of Emotional Abuse of Neglected Childhood. So we say we're going to talk about 5 facets of childhood emotional abuse. And emotional abuse isn't just screaming and stomping around, by the way. There are very different facets to childhood emotional abuse. From a reject of needs, to corrupting our sense of right and wrong. These are the five facets of childhood abuse, which could indicate you were abused or neglected emotionally. So the first one is rejection of needs. An emotionally abused parent is one who dismisses an emotional need of their child or otherwise refuses to show affection. This might occur by withholding affection when the child is perceived to have done something wrong, or it may occur outright by treating the child with cold and distant disdain. The caretaker here is denying the child the affection it needs to thrive or feel secure, thus inflicting deep and long-lasting trauma that can make it hard for those children to have a happy and balanced relationship in future. The second one is unreasonable isolation. This is tough. One of the hallmark signs of abuse is, without question, isolation. Abusers isolate their victims because it limits their chance to discovery and allows them to exert greater control over those relationships. An emotionally abusive parent might refuse to allow their child to take place in normal activities, or they might once again use isolation as a heavy-handed means of punishment, though it is ultimately more about control and inflicting distress, like, you're not gonna play today, or you're not gonna go to the show tomorrow because you did this and this. Well, it affects the kid. The third one is terror doesn't occur only in the home of the child who receives regularly beating. It's a foundation of emotionally abused too. Parents and caretaker terrorize their children with the promise of severe punishment or the threat of something far more sinister, which can cause them to hide or fear opening up. This is constant terror. This constant terror creates a climate of threat, which with it erodes all sense of trust and safety the child has in their home and their caretaker. This hits home very well, because I went to research through this because my neighbor is really crazy and the kid is, you know, going through some stuff. So this third one is very critical in, you know, creating a personality of a kid when they grow up. The fourth is ignoring and dismissal. So emotionally abused doesn't just come with terror and threats. It can include dismissal and emotional neglect as well. So when a parent goes out of their way to ignore the needs of their child, or if they are suffering from untreated mental illness, it can leave the child with a sense of being unwanted and unconsidered. So children need validation because their validation guides them towards future social skills, abilities, and understanding. So when they are denied that by their caretaker, it can lead to major emotional upset later on. So be careful as well when you're dismissing it. On what grounds are you dismissing the child on? And the fifth one is corrupting the senses. Perhaps the most insidious aspect of emotional abuse is that of emotional and social corruption. This form of abuse takes place when the parent or caretaker encourage their offspring to engage in malicious and antisocial behavior. They might do this directly, or they might do this by responding to the child only when they are in the extreme or unpleasant emotional state, only receiving the attention that you need when you're acting up, hurting yourself or hurting others, to lead to development of false value and even damaging behaviors pattern. This is crazy and it affects the kid. So we have to check that during this five facet of childhood emotional abuse, we be subtle on issuing threats, we be subtle on rejecting emotional needs. Those things that you can do to a kid to punish them, but not harshly, so that it doesn't, you know, go ahead and hinder their character building, or, you know, creating personality as they grow up. So thanks for that, and on the next episode I'm still going to go deep on why we don't always recognize child abuse, emotional abuse. So keep it tuned. Welcome to the fourth episode of Emotionally Abused Childhood. So, the most common long-term effects of emotional abuse can be subtle, and likewise, the symptoms we exhibit can take a long time to manifest and impact our happiness. So, having an inability to rely on others or an over-the-top inner critic that blames you for everything is normal. So it's more commonly as a sign that you're living with the idea that you're unlovable, or the erroneous idea that was implanted in your head by a parent that didn't live up to their responsibilities to you. So let's look at, this most common long-term effects. So the first one is struggling with self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So adult children of emotional abuse often find themselves struggling with self-esteem later on in life. So whether they learned to feel unworthy of love, or they learned that they weren't smart enough or pretty enough or successful enough, the way we bond and interact with our parents plays a critical role in every facet of our adulthood life. So holding on to the emotional traumas you share with your caretaker leads to a perpetuation of those negative and self-limiting beliefs, and forces us to accept the belief that we aren't good enough or that we deserve to be treated poorly. This is most common in youths, like you can see it everywhere. The second one is constant guilt. Somebody can feel it, right? So, because emotional abusers are so skilled at making the victim feel at fault, those victims can also find themselves struggling with a constant and permitting sense of guilt. This constant guilt can cause you to act out, lean into addictive or risky behaviors, or even deny yourself the opportunity that would otherwise allow you to thrive and reach your dreams. It's important to remember that as a child, you were totally innocent. So it's up to your parents to care for us and provide us the emotional stability and affection we need. However, if this doesn't happen, when you grow up, you have to go deep down and identify yourself, find yourself, face those trauma, and make yourself be the true self or true version of yourself. The third one is obsessive privacy. We have these people who lately just, brand themselves like, I'm an introvert, just don't go, I need these things done here and there. No, that's not true. Some things are just not the way they look. So if your parents constantly snooped on you or exposed your private information to people you didn't trust or didn't wish to share this information with, it can lead to hypersense of violation that follows us through life. So because you never felt as though you had a sense of privacy, you might become an overly private or, walled-off person in your adulthood, burying all your important thoughts, emotions, and vulnerabilities down deep. You might find it hard to connect with others on, the authentic level. You just want to have things done your way. You don't want somebody in your life or snooping around your life. It's not because that's who you are. It's because it's instilled in us when we grew up. These are just part of the process of how it happens. The long-term effects of childhood trauma. Okay, the other one is senseless relationship. Haha. Oh my God. Broken relationship with our parents equals broken relationship with our partners, friends, and even our own children later in life. You cannot beat that. That's the truth. So this comes down to the attachment style we learned from our parents. So as well as any other direct or indirect instilled fear and insecurity, like fear of abandonment, the adult child of an emotional abused household might find themselves in emotionally abusive romantic relationship filled with blow-ups and a lot of drama. It comes down to learning how to reshape the way we react and emote. So when you see things are not working in your relationship, or you keep on giving chances to recurrence of bad habits in a relationship, you have to look deeper as to why you do this. Go back, see how you were raised, and see how you can make yourself better. The other one is negative outlook. These people in our society who are 100% negative all the damn time. So it's hard to retain a positive outlook when you spend your childhood having your feelings dismissed or demeaned. So adults who were raised under the shadow of emotional abuse might find that their inner critics reign supreme, and they may struggle to see anyone and anything in a positive light because, you know, their baseline were formed in the midst of terror, isolation, and even abandon. It can be easier for them to expect the worst. So it's a coping mechanism for them, and one that means to protect them from continued emotional harm, although it does more damage in the long term, as you might think. All right, the last one is buried emotion. So there's this group of people who don't want to express how they feel because of this and that. When you're emotionally abused, you learn that it isn't safe for you to express your emotion. As a child, when you express your emotion, they were probably dismissed, or they may have even caused anger in your parents or caretaker. As an adult, this can lead to burying your hard or unpleasant emotion away, leaving them to fester and further manifest through a subconscious pattern of behavior and reaction. So sometimes it's good to just let out how you feel, so you just don't bottle them up. The more you bottle them up, the more it creates a pattern in you and makes up a character and ends up being a personality that you possess. So come on, catch me later on the next episode, because this is getting hotter. So let's see how to resolve your childhood emotional abuse. So keep in touch, keep it tuned. Episode 5 of this segment, and let's see how to resolve your childhood emotional abuse. You know, so if you're struggling with the fallout of emotional abuse as an adult, you can find peace, but it takes a lot of hard work. So not all emotional abuse is created equal. Some hurt real deep and requires the help of a mental health professional to overcome. So for everything else, however, we are the only life raft that there is. So if you're struggling to find love, if you have to learn how to love yourself and let go of things your parent couldn't give you, I'm just going to give you a few snippets of what I think you should do. So get honest about what went wrong. That's the first step. So the first step is recovering from the emotional abuse of your childhood is to get honest about what went wrong. This means accepting what happened and accepting your parents and caretakers for the mistake they made. You have to let go of the internalized guilt and understand that as a child, you were not at fault for the pain in your past. You know, get honest about what went wrong and use that knowledge to create a plan moving forward. For example, start small and ease into the waters of acceptance with a gentle journaling of meditation practice. Find a space where you can think uninterrupted and put yourself back in a time where you felt that your parents didn't listen to you or didn't respond to your emotional needs. You know, watch the scene replay as though you were instantly removed, and with that it can help you. So how you can start with, how did your parents react to you? Like, how did that make you respond? Consider that child as if it were your own, and let those emotional come to you as if you were back in the moment. So understand that your parents were human with all the complex and flawed emotion and experience that you have too. Use the understanding to cultivate an acceptance of what happened to you so you can figure out how to fix it. So as you get more comfortable looking back into your past, lean into the big things. Don't be afraid to shy away from the truth, you know, no matter how much that might hurt. So the second one is to lean into your boundaries. So if you don't carve out the mental space you need to detach from who and what was, you won't be able to break free of the shackles your family passed over you. So emotionally toxic and damaging childhoods never go away. they follow us, manifesting again and again in a number of different manners that undermine our overall mental and emotional health. Like, you can't run away from this. We have to set boundaries in order to let the healing process come full circle. Embrace the emotion that makes you uncomfortable and recognize the people and the triggers that bring out the best in you and your psyche. So learning to love ourselves takes time and effort, but know your worth isn't difficult. As human alive on this earth, you are worth of the happiness, love, and effort in the world. Only you can allow someone else to deny you that. So when you start to recognize this, you are on the path to being whole again. The third is finding comfort in your emotion. So growing up in a household that is devoid in the right emotional connection can make it hard for you to recognize your emotion, and even harder for you to manage them. So more often than not, our caretakers distance themselves emotionally because they don't know how to deal with their own emotions. So only by learning how to confront our emotion can we deal with them efficiently and get back to the happiness we deserve. So differentiation stops negative emotion from getting worse by building up our confidence in facing them. It allows us to identify what we are feeling and why we are feeling that way, which leads us to true solution and clarity, and thus higher level of happiness and contentment. So when we learn how to see our emotion for what they are and where they come from, we can accept them and then get better at managing them. It's like being a manager of a restaurant. So if you really want to be effective, you have to get to know your staff and figure out what works best for you. Fourth is get professional help. I know this might be hard for most of the people, but sometimes you have to. Facing and resolving the emotional neglect in our past is not something that we can always do alone, and it's not something that can be managed simply with the help of a few good friends. No. Okay, some friends can, but not all friends. So sometimes it's necessary to find a specialist when dealing with childhood neglect of every kind. But it's important to make sure you're finding the right person to help you resolve your past. So a professional can help you get to the root of your problem, but you need to be ready to open up and need to know what direction you want to head in. So healing is hard, but living internally in pain is harder. So if you think you need more serious help, reach out for it. But when you feel better physically, you have more strength to engage in the mental and emotional war of healing and resolution. This puts our overall wellness in clear focus and make our efforts to heal more effective and less costly in the long term. So you can even incorporate workout in that. The fifth is practice self-compassion. The act of applied self-compassion is a powerful tool in recovering from pain caused by emotional neglectful parents. So self-compassion is not self-kindness. It's not self-pity either. It's taking an active role in your healing, and it involves embracing your fault, mistake, and suffering as equally you celebrate your joys, success, and triumphs. When we utilize the real self-compassion in ourselves, we extend the same kindness, caring, and understanding to ourselves as we would to a friend or a loved one. So look at things from the perspective of your inner child. Are you finally standing up for the little boy or the little girl and protecting them the way they should have been protected all those years ago? Be mindful of yourself and be mindful of your needs, both emotional and physical. So let's go off to your need to be perfect for anyone, and instead of becoming the best version of yourself for yourself. If there's something you don't like about yourself, make a plan to change it, but only after looking it boldly in the face and accepting it for what it is. Spend a few minutes each day practicing this and use it to get beyond the pain of your estrangement. The sixth one is be more grateful. Gratitude is one of the best ways we can deal with our neglect, with our negative emotion, like at all times. It doesn't matter who you are or whether you are surrounded by a million people you love or not. If you're a living human being, you have something to be grateful for. Big or small, there are beautiful things all around us and that have the ability to give us life meanings. So, or remind us of the good things that are just within our reach. So you'll start to really connect with yourself and the emotion when you begin to remember that it's not all doom and gloom. There is something out there for everyone to love in life. And if you haven't found that yet, it's time to get started. The greatest thing about happiness is that it's not a luxury commodity. It's a state of being that exists naturally within each and every one of us. So you don't need your parents or your sibling or anyone else to be happy. That's something that can only be generated from within and shared without. The seventh one is reparent yourself the right way. Reparent yourself the right way. So when we are hurt by our parents, we often go out looking for healing in all the wrong places. So we turn to other people, to drugs, to alcohol, all in the search of the love we were denied when we needed it most. So not being taught how to properly manage our emotion, the good and the bad, can result in associating happiness with the feeling of pleasure when that's not really necessarily true. So there is no salvation in pleasure alone. The problem with that is that no one else can save us. Only we can save ourselves. So work hard to build up the confidence that were wrecked by a dismissive or emotionally distant parent, and celebrate your strength and victories every single day. Write notes to yourself and start a mindful journaling practice, and let you get back in touch with that scared, broken little child that's hiding deep inside. Learn how to love yourself, and the rest of the world will follow. Give yourself a gift that never quits giving, and be the parent you always needed. The eighth one is connect with your support network. Substituting our unhealthy family relationship for the ones that better suit our lifestyle and emotional need is a good way to cut ties and find a way back to healing. Don't be tied by family ties. Some of them are really toxic, so it can help. It can be helpful to allow your attention to center on the healthy relationship that brings joy into your life rather than the ones that attract nothing but negativity. So there is no law that says family is blood and blood alone. You can choose your family, and you can choose people who provide emotional fulfillment. The family and the chosen family we surround ourselves is important, and can be especially important when it comes to creating the lives you want. If you're struggling to let go of a toxic and emotional damaging family member, reestablishing abandoned ties with your own outside support network can be a great way to get back into contact with who you are. This is because our relationship allows us to get a better grip in our perspective, and that makes all the differences when it comes to fulfillment and joy. Ooh, so, in conclusion, because I know I've said a lot, there are a number of ways in which our parents can emotionally wound or scar us, all of them resulting in deep-seated pain that can cause serious problems in our adolescent and adult lives. So when we fail to recognize and deal with this pain, it follows us and can lead to a lot of negative side effects and coping mechanism that eats away who we are and the future we are trying to build for ourselves. If we want to heal, we have to dig deep and get focused on our needs and fulfilling them with honesty and compassion. Get in touch with your past and start embracing those experiences for what they are, the good and the bad. Dig deep and realize that you have every right to feel how you feel. Our emotions don't come from nowhere. They are they are a reaction in the stimuli of our environment. So be honest about your needs and reach out to a professional for further resolution if needed. You know, gratitude and compassion are two of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves. And when we try to recover from a childhood that was lacking in affection and emotional connection. So give yourself a second childhood and become the parent you never had.
Fall in love with your strengths and recognize that you empower yourself through your weakness. Find people you trust and gather them closely. When we open up to a support network, we can unlock powerful healings we didn't even know was possible. So, sort out our boundaries and use them to boost yourself into an emotionally empowered future. The shackle of your childhood don't have to be the prison of your future. So let's go and find the healing you were seeking. Mazi, thanks for listening to my podcast. Keep it tuned. I'll see you next Wednesday with more amazing content. Bye-bye. Have a lovely week.